We're going to hear God's word now. Would you open up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11? Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, which is Babylonia, and they settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." And so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is God's word. Wally, brother, would you please come up?
Thank you, Pastor, for the reading of God's Word. This is a fascinating story. I have been with unreached people groups of the world, and probably Russia has many, many, like India and China, unreached people groups of the world, and Russia in the Arctic Circle and the reindeer herders. And when you meet the Tajiks and the Kyrgyz and the Uzbek and the Turkmen and the Azeri people, all of a sudden, when you read this passage, they say, "Well, God gave us our language. It wasn't evolved through the evolutionary ways." Let me see how to, just excuse me a sec. Oh, here it is. Okay. This is the Tower of Babel, and we'll talk about the theme today is the Tower of Babel, evangelism, and the Red Square of Russia. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 to 11, it talks about Babel being confusion, and also in the Greek language, it is the gate of the gods. Okay, the gate of the gods right there. The ruins, if you see those pictures right there, the ruins of Babel stand near Hilar. And the original one is right, this is the original Tower of Babel that still stands there in Iraq, okay? And that's the Tower of Babel's, what they looked like, okay? This is what they looked like at that time. And this is the original one that still stands there today, the Tower of Babel, okay? And we're with Mission Eurasia. Mission Eurasia trains to lead and equips people to serve. We work with nationals. We don't send Australians and the UK people and the Americans or the Canadians. We train national people to be involved in evangelism, discipleship, and small group Bible studies, okay? So this is Mission Eurasia, our new logo. It used to be called Peter Dynecker Russian Ministries. But Russian Ministries, when the Soviet Union collapsed, we had to find another name, and so it's called Mission Eurasia. It is not Asia and is not Europe. And so the Russian continent itself is called Mission or Eurasia. It's a little bit of Europe, and a lot of it is in Asia and Siberia and so forth. And this is the passage that we read, and the pastor read this to us, okay? I had that because some congregations, you have to read it. But this is the actual location. This is the actual Tower of Babel in Iraq. It is right there where it is in the valley. That's Iraq, okay? And so let's have a look. The plain of Shinar is what is what we call Babylonia, okay? And that is what the Babylonia area was like at that part of the world. And so you got Vavilonskoye Tsarstvo, that's in Russian, okay? So you'll see a little bit of Cyrillic there. And then Egypt, if you are someone who's from Egypt, you can see how Egypt is written, Egypt, okay? That's how we say it in our language, Egypt. And then you've got Galilea Lydia right there, and Peresidskaya Mora, Persian Gulf, and so forth. And this is where the Tower of Babel is right there, Fallujah. If you've heard of that, Fallujah, it's about right there where the Tower of Babel is located. And then you've got Iran there, you've got Turkey there, you've got Syria, you've got Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and then the peninsula of Saudi Arabia and further down south, and Israel right across there, just to give you an idea of where it was. Now, let's go through this passage and let's take a look. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech, or the whole world had one language and a common culture. The question is that good or bad? I mean, you can answer if you like, but we'll go through a little bit more interactively. Rather than just preaching at you, I'd like you to think together with me. And having one language and one culture or one speech, is it good or bad? I think it's pretty good. You understand each other. There's no cultural problems. You know how many problems I got into when I got to Tajikistan and I did things wrong? Just shoes alone. You have no idea how we Westerners, we prize our shoes and we keep our shoes on our feet all the time. Well, in Tajikistan, you don't do that. When you enter a house, you don't go in with your shoes on. You know, they provide slippers for you. And if you walk into the house and so forth, there are cultural things. So when you have one language and a common culture, it's pretty good. You understand each other. You have kind of one heart, one mind, one understanding. And all of a sudden it says they had one language and a common speech or a common culture. And as the people moved eastward to the plain of Shinar, they settled there. Now, what causes people to move? What caused my people to move to Australia? What caused you people to move to Australia, okay? And all of a sudden, something happened, and they began to move. When a group of people begin to move, is there a leader? Or do they do it independently? How did this happen? Why is it that all of a sudden, this group of people, they all understood each other, they have the same language, and they begin to move eastward? What was the intention? Where did the idea come from? Where did the idea come from for these people to begin to move? And it says they begin to move to the plain of Shinar, which is Babylonia at that time, Babylonia, and they settled there. Why did they move and then they settled and they stopped? It's a very interesting thought of why people had to do this. And then they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Now, this is about 300 years after the great flood. You know, Noah and his three sons and the flood. This is about 300 years. And Noah probably was alive when this Tower of Babel happened, okay? And they said to each other, let us come make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Noah and his three sons knew construction. Okay, Noah and his three sons, and they passed on the trade of building and the ability to construct and ability to plan. And so the people already knew and they had the knowledge. It's not like evolutionists who say, you know, these are cave people. No. These people already knew construction. They had built an enormous ark, Noah's ark, as great as any cruise sailing ship in the world today, any cargo carrying ship as large as that, the people were able to build. And so these people had the knowledge to create and to build because we were made in the image of God. Okay? And so we have this creative abilities in us. And so the Bible tells us they began to make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Has anyone ever here made bricks? Yeah, There's a lady. I did too. When we moved from China, we were born, Natasha and I were born, in the province of Xinjiang, Xinkiang, China, amongst the Uyghur people, the Uyghur people of the world, the unreached peoples of the world. And the only way my parents could survive in China is to make bricks by themselves. And when we moved to Australia, when we moved to Queensland, the place called Yarwun between Gladstone and Rockhampton on the Tropic of Capricorn, the first thing my dad was, he had to build a little house. And so I helped my dad build, make bricks here in Australia. Would you believe that? I know how to make bricks just as they did. And it's hard work because we used cow manure, we used straw, and we made it out of clay, and then we had to bake it. And I had to walk in that little hole like this with my feet to stir it up, you know, to mix the cow manure, the straw, and the grass that we put in there, and the water, and the clay that we dug up. And as children, he had seven children, and so all of us children took turns, and your feet were really clean in that mud after. I mean, what kids don't like to play in mud? And I played in mud a lot because we made bricks in Queensland, Australia, just like this. And I'm telling you, it's hard work. But when I made bricks and I baked them and I cooked them and we had them in the sun dried, I was so proud. I did it. I was so happy that it was the work of my hands. And so we have a situation here. They used brick instead of stone. What is man made and what is God made? Man-made is bricks. Why do the people reject what God gave them? Why is it that people tend to reject what God gives them for construction? And so all of a sudden, on the onset of our whole civilization, man begins to reject what God gives them. And they begin to work and they begin to accept the glory of their own hands. On the onset, if you could see right there, and they reject the stone, the cornerstone. And we know that in our life, there is a stone, a foundation that our lives are built upon. And right here, they reject the stone, and they use brick instead of stone and tafa mortar. And so on the onset, they reject what God gives them. And so right here, this during our time, your time and my time, there are two religions, the religion of grace, God given to us, and the religion of works. And so in this day and age, we have two religions in the world, whether you go to India or China or the Soviet Union or Africa or Latin America, and there are two religions, one of works made by my own hands. And if you give me a set of rules, I will obey them. And I will do that, and I'll say, I will reach glory, and God will save me because I'm such a good man. I have accomplished all this. And God said, no, there is a stone that people reject. They stumble over it. And in our understanding, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, the stone upon which he is the rock that we have. And so the people on the onset reject what God gave them. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. So these people are not dumb. These people are not from the evolutionary stage going out of caves and using spears and all the things that you hear. The reason I say this because when I was traveling here and I listened to a documentary on the plane and they were talking about, you know, the evolution of societies. And I thought to myself, thinking about the tower, they were already building cities. They already built boats far grander out of just wood than the sea crafts that we have today, the sailing boats that we have today. And so these people were smart. And so they were to build a city like Melbourne is a city. It's a fantastic city. It's a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. And it's well organized. So to build a city, do you need a leader or not? Yeah. So these people had a leader. They had somebody who was to organize something, and they said, let us come build for ourselves a city with a tower. Now, Melbourne, we went downtown yesterday. I specifically looked for a tower downtown, but you didn't have one. Many countries of the world have squares or plazas. You know the word plaza? Have you heard of the word? Spanish word plaza. In every Latin American country, in the plaza, in the center plaza, there's always a high tower building. It's usually a cathedral now. A cathedral, some kind of Spanish cathedral church. Tiananmen Square in China, a huge building with a prominent building which people come and watch. Red Square. And then Toronto has the Tower. Chicago has Willis Tower or Sears Tower. And we have these huge buildings in the center of the city. And you think, where did this idea come from? Well, it came right from here. And what was this object of devotion that they had in the center of the city? And they would build themselves a tower that reaches to the heavens. Why do we go up there? I mean, why do we pride ourselves, Chicago, having the tallest building in all of America, North and South America? And we go up. And the people of that time, the Tower of Babel was an object of devotion. And the Tower was something that people not only glorified, but that was a center of worship. Okay? So what is the center of worship on a Sunday? We're here. We're together as God's people, and we want to worship God together. So this is our center. This is kind of our Tower here in Melbourne. Okay? And so it says they build themselves a city and to make a name for themselves. Again, the work of the hands. The work of the hands of these people. And they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we make a name for ourselves, otherwise we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Where did the idea come from that they will be scattered? Where did the knowledge come from? Why is it that these people said, okay, we're going to do this, and then after this, something's going to happen? Where did that knowledge come from? Where did they get the idea that they should cover the face of the earth? Where did they get the idea that they should multiply? They should become great and subdue the earth? And these people stopped, and they started to satisfy themselves. They started to think about themselves. But the Lord came down. The Lord came down, he took a look at what they were doing, and the scripture tells us they were building a city. The Lord said, if it's one people speaking the same language, they began to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. They will not understand each other. I think we all speak different languages, some of us, like we can speak Russian, Ukrainian, and I think there's some people from India I see, you know, the different dialects, and China has different dialects, and from around the world there are different dialects, and all of a sudden the unreached peoples group understand from this passage that God gave them their language. It didn't evolve. It was a God-given gift, and people in Africa, you know, they have languages, and they wonder where the language is. It was God. It was God who allowed these people to form a language and have a language. Come, let us come down and confuse the language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them over all the face of the world and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel today, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole world. And so in scattering people speaking different languages, so we have today languages of Africa, we have languages of Asia, we have languages of Europe, we have languages in the South Pacific, okay, and the God-given languages. And let's see what they built. What they built today, there are still 130 left today in Iraq of these ziggurats reaching to the heavens. This is what exactly they look like. This is in Syria, in Iraq today. Ziggurat had a temple on top reaching towards the heaven containing the signs of the zodiac. When it said the building was there reaching the heavens, and all of a sudden on top of that building was a temple like this, and it was all the signs of the zodiac. And what are the signs of the zodiac? It's the zodiac of the universal stars, And you know, you go to a Chinese restaurant, and what do you get? You get a plate there, and on there is your birthday, and they give you these signs. Where did that come from? It came right from here, from the Tower of Babel. It's astrology, horoscope, psychic reading, dream interpretation, numerology, futuristic reading, relationships and love, well-being and spiritual information, psychic discussion, rooms, and then psychic and spiritual shops and universal psychic guides. And we think all of a sudden the universal signs and the Mayan calendar was a new thing. It was invented during the Tower of Babel. And you know who was their leader? In Genesis chapter 10, it tells us about Nimrod. It was amazing that you knew Nimrod. Nimrod was a hunter, but he wasn't hunting animals. He was hunting for people. And he was diverting people from the preaching of Noah and the three sons. And Nimrod was the man who invented a new religion. Instead of worshiping God, they started to worship creation. And so today we have idols from around the world where people begin to worship creation instead of the Creator. And it came from the Tower of Babel. And when they scattered over the whole world, what did they bring to the peoples of the world? They brought their own religion. And that was the religion that we have here, the zodiac signs. Okay? And so God blessed them, that is Adam and Eve, and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue and rule over it." Did they succeed? God had to destroy the world. But God gave him a great commission, as we would come on. It was the great commission for Adam and Eve to multiply, to subdue the world, and to preach to them about their relationship with God. Because they walked with him, they talked with him in the cool of the day. They knew him personally on a very personal basis. And they were supposed to explain to them about this one God. And man became wicked. Man began to reject the truth. Man began to seek his own ways because man was corrupt. And God said, "I can't take this anymore." And the flood happens. And then after the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." I don't have my glasses with me. "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." And as Noah and his three sons preach and they teach people, there was Nimrod who came up. And his first city that he built was Babel. Or the Tower of Babel, okay? The Tower of Babel that we have, and the Tower of Babel begins, and the people begin to be diverted from their purpose. And then Jesus came. That was years, years later. And Jesus came and he said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Do you know how many years it's been since Jesus said those words? 2019. The Aztec temples. Have you seen those? This is the Aztec temples. Do they look like the Tower of Babel? Do you know that the Aztecs, they worship the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe? They rise early in the morning. We lived in Ecuador for 10 years amongst the Incas, okay? And let's have a look at the Mayan temples. You take a cruise to that part of the world, of Mexico, they're as magnificent as any pyramids in Egypt, okay? They're as magnificent as they are in the Mayan temples. And right, this is the old ruins of the Mayan city. And in the middle of the city, the plaza, is the Tower of Babel. Can you see that? Right there, the ruins right there. This is the city. And as they unearth and use archaeological evidence, the Tower of Babel. And so in Latin America, where do they get the technology from? A building, all these things? It was from those days in the Tower of Babel. And then the Inca temples. We lived amongst the Inca people in Quito, Ecuador, and the ruins of these people. And right there, do you see the zodiac? Right on top. Right on top is the zodiac. instead of spreading the good news that God wanted people to dominate the world, what did they bring? The religion of Nimrod, the religion of the zodiacs. And this is how it spread globally around the world and then in Egypt. The Egyptians were the true ones. They made them out of not a stone, but they made them out of clay. You see the Egyptian ruins right there? And if you look right here inside into the pyramids, they buried the kings. And the Mayans and the Incas and the Aztec people, okay? What did they do? They also had their kings. And so right there in the temple, right there, if you can see that, the Sphinx right there in Egypt, the three pyramids right there, these are the original ones. And then they morphed into something like this and something like that, okay? And today, let's take a look at Red Square. This is Red Square of Russia. And right here is a little ziggurat. This is the plaza. This is the Red Square, the famous Red Square of Russia. And if you look down from the hotel where they used to have a hotel, and this is the ziggurat in the main square of Russia, right there. You see the people lining up? The only place on earth, the only country on earth, that still remains and still has a ziggurat in the plaza, the Red Square of Russia, is Red Square of Russia. See the churches right there? Oh, okay. This is very sensitive here. Right there. And so I just wanted to show you that even to this day, twice a week, lines and lines of people gather and they bring flowers, they sing praises to a dead man. His name is Lenin, the father of communism, the one that exported the whole idea and religion to Cuba and then Venezuela and tried in Chile. They tried in Egypt, but Egypt expelled the Russians from that part of the world, but they governed Ethiopia and other parts of the world, okay? And so today, this is myself, and this is during the Sochi Winter Olympics, and I've got literature, and this is that ziggurat right there. This is where Lenin is buried and an idol that the Russian people worship today. And right there, we're handing out literature. And this is what the Red Square looks like. This is the ziggurat right there. This is right here, right there. And inside the Red Square is this man, Lenin. Where did that idea come from? In the center of the city, there are churches towering over, and today, I'm talking about 2019, okay? I'm talking about a nation that everyone thinks is a civilized nation, and yet today Russia does not experience God's blessings today because there is a man, this idol that the Russian people and rows and thousands of people still bring flowers and roses to that part of the world. God told the Egyptian or the Israelis when they left Egypt, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer, an augur, a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer, or those whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 18. And what happened to Israelites? Eventually, they succumbed to the people around them. They began to worship the gods that surrounded them. And today, what has happened is that we have the Great Commission. The Great Commission is too big for anyone to accomplish alone. And it's too important not to try to do it together. That's why I have a faith promise today. That's why you do missions. That's why today there's 50th missions convention, the heart for the nations, God's heart for the nations. Why the nations? Because God gave them the languages, but the languages now in Latin America or in Africa and parts of the world, it's paganism. My ancestors, Natasha's ancestors, were pagans. pagans before Christianity came. It was worshiping of creator, a creation rather than the creator. Okay? And so, I have to go back. God wanted to reverse the curse of giving the languages on the day of Pentecost. This is what happened. On the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Natasha and I, we speak many languages. English is one, Russian is one, and Spanish. So three languages that we have, in three languages we can communicate. So God reverses that curse at the day of Pentecost and gives people languages and gives them a heart for the people. For instance, St. Andrew, like your church's name, St. Andrew's Presbyterian. Do you know the Apostle Andrew came to preach amongst my people? An apostle? Mark went to Egypt. Mark was an apostle to Egypt, and then Bartholomew was also an apostle to the northern Caucasus of that part of the world. That's Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, that part of the world. And then Judas, not the Iscariot, was also in that part of the world. And then Thomas went to India. Do you know India had Christianity before America or before England? Thomas died in that part of the world. Thomas went through Tajikistan, Dushanbe, and he went to that part of the world and brought the gospel to India. I mean, that is in the first century. And so God reverses the curse of the Tower of Babel and gives us this great commission. And that's why we stand before you today and want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing Natasha and myself to be involved in not the completion. I wish it was the completion of the Great Commission, but to be involved in the Great Commission. Folks, 42 years you've prayed for us. 42 years you've supported us. For 42 years it just humbles us that you stood behind us and allowed us. And today, it's not that we're retiring and we won't be doing it. We will continue, but we'll continue doing it in a different way. And so today, looking at evangelism, there is 19 million people yearly. The world is growing of people who've never heard the name of Jesus. Do you know that Coca-Cola, those two words, Coca-Cola, is more known globally amongst the Eskimos and the Chukchi and the Arctic Circle of people? You say Coca-Cola, they know exactly what you want. You say Jesus Christ, they don't know what it is. So Coca-Cola did a fantastic job in making Coca-Cola known around the world. And yet God told us, he told us to go. And yesterday evening, we met a young lady who's interested in Japan. I mean, where does that come from? God plants it in the heart of a human being. God planted it in our hearts to go back to our own people and to speak to them, okay? And so this is what's happening globally today. And this is Red Square. You can see this is during 2014, intensively doing street evangelism. Of all the ministries I've done, I found that street evangelism was the most difficult thing. You don't know which person was prepared by the Holy Spirit. you have to talk to 20 people before all of a sudden one person says, "Yes, I've been waiting for you." You know, it was in Kazakhstan. I knocked on the door, and I was holding the New Testament and the Gospel of John. And the man looked at me and said, "I've been waiting for you for 2 years." Could you imagine? Could you imagine you stand there at the door, all the rejections, and then all of a sudden, this man looks, and you just melt, and you say, "Lord, how could this be? I've been waiting for you for 2 years. Let me go get my wife." And he brings his wife, and he said, "These are the two people I've been waiting for 2 years. And you sit down and you share the gospel with them, and they're like sponges. They take it in. You pray with them and they pray with you. You kneel with them and they kneel with you. You say, "Lord, what a miracle, what a miracle." And so the reason we do this street evangelism is because we don't know which person was prepared by the Holy Spirit in receiving this. And so we go and do it with one and another and the 10th and the 5th and the 100th individual and so forth. And then all of a sudden, there are those that the Lord has prepared on our paths. So right there. And so let's look at some of the great missionaries of the world. This is Judas, Simon, the Zealot, and Bartholomew. They converted 100,000 people in Persia and Media. The Medes and the Persians, the Medes are the people of Central Asia. That's Azerbaijan. That's Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan. Just north of Persia are the Medes. And so these three apostles, Judas, Simon the Zealot, and Bartholomew, converted in the first 100,000 individuals, okay? Let's go further. Patrick the evangelized the whole country of Ireland, baptizing 100,000, one individual. As God sends us, he gives us the power. Don't you ever believe it, that if God sends you, he will make the way possible. He'll make the provision possible. When we stood here as young couples with Natasha, I didn't know. And then the church writes to us and said, we'd like to support you. You have no idea how encouraged, how blessed we were to find out that a church here will begin to support us and pray for us. And so this is Columbus evangelized the whole country of Scotland. Isn't that amazing? The whole country of Scotland. And then George Whitefield. If you've heard of George Whitefield, George Whitefield preached to over 18 million in the United States of America. How could they do that? And I thought to myself, that's amazing. And then John Wesley baptized over 140,000 people in preaching and his faithfulness to God. And this is the evangelism that we come across. And then before television, D.L. Moody, who comes from Chicago, preached to 100 million and personally baptized 750,000 individuals. Do you think that's possible? That's what the records, I Googled it. I Googled that baptism many times, and it's a little bit more than that. I just rounded the figures off. And I Googled it again and again. I went to Yahoo, I went to Google, I went to other Bing, and I went to other searching. I thought, this is not possible. Sure enough, there it is. This is D.L. Moody. And then Morrison worked 25 years in China with less than a dozen converts. So there is good soil, and there's rocky soil, and there's soil with thorns, and there is just footpaths and so forth for 25 years and less than a dozen converts. And then William Carey, who you know about, labored for 7 years before his first convert in India. William Carey is the only foreigner who has a stamp in India after his name. India recognized one foreigner, and that's William Carey. He brought in, and today India has one stamp of a missionary that labored in that part of the world. And so he labored for 7 years for the very first convert in India. And then Judson, that you know about, served 37 years in Myanmar, which was Burma, and with just 8,000 converts. And these are missionaries who went to that part of the world. And personally, as you look at myself, a refugee who came to Australia, brought up in Australia, came to know the Lord, was thrust forth as you people here at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. You allowed us to be involved in radio. I was a Russian broadcaster for 20 years. That's shortwave radio. Produced over 6,200 radio programs. In 18 years of training nationals, we have trained together, not just myself, over 20,800 nationals to be involved in evangelism and discipleship. And printed scriptures alone just last year, God allowed me and just my personal involvement to print 1.2 million pieces of scripture. Folks, God could use you. God can use you. Me, I come from, my mother didn't know how to read and write until she came to Australia. Could you believe that? My mother did not know, my grandmother didn't know how to read and write, and my grandmother, who died in Adelaide, before she died, she wanted to learn phonetically, and so she learned to read and write before she died because she wanted to know whether the people who were reading from the book, from this podium, were reading what was really written in there. And my mother learned to read and write in Australia. And so God could use each one of us, and so today, Just three weeks ago, this is 100,000 New Testaments. 500,000 people in the city of Kyiv came for the National Day of Thanksgiving. And we went out, backpacks like this, took literature and people and people and people, and we started to hand out scriptures, hand out literature. And on the back of the New Testament is a QR code to give an address of the local church and answers to very difficult questions that people ask. And so there's a stadium all day long. There were testimonies, there was praise, there was singing. 500,000 people, different denominations, came together in Ukraine, and we provided 100,000 New Testaments, okay? And so that's the New Testament, that's the crowd, and this little girl, if I had a story to tell, this little girl, an orphan who received, this was a summer camp that I did in Ukraine in July. She received the storybook of Jesus. I don't know, Zondervan prints that. We've got it in the Russian, and we've got it in the English language, with international characters on every page. And when the child looks at it, they see Jesus, and they see themselves, and they see other peoples of the world in that book. And so this little girl said, I'm so happy I could read this to my grandmother. I could read this to my mother now. And so a child impacts a grandmother, a grandfather, a mother and a father, a child impacts six people. And so don't restrict children to come to the Lord. Here's another young lady there. These are 10 and 11-year-olds who received scriptures. And then we went to public schools in Ukraine. This is public schools. You can't distribute scriptures in Australia, in America, in public schools, but in Ukraine you can. And so we went to public schools, and we had children's literature, we had a New Testament, and then a Bible. And so the teachers and the library all received a Bible. So in Ukraine, this is the war. I mean, it's actual, it's real. I've been there many times, speaking to people, going from home to home, and all of a sudden you see one of these signs on a house that means someone lives there, and in other places people don't live there. And what we are involved is humanitarian aid for that part of the world. We feed the people, the church, a local church. We provide humanitarian aid for them. They feed the people once a day, and then they preach the gospel message. And these are people who are making a profession of faith every day. A minimum of three individuals accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and receive grace into their lives. This is in that part of the world. This is a soldier. We were 200 meters from the front line. He said, what are you doing without a bulletproof jacket? And this young man said, teach me to pray. And so I open up the Bible in the middle of the Bible and say, these are the Psalms, and you can pray these Psalms, okay? There's a soldier reading the scriptures because he doesn't know whether he's going to live or he's going to die tomorrow. And there he is reading scriptures with his gun right there. And soldiers, older men, receiving the scriptures was a great joy for them, and it was a great joy for us to give it to people who wanted to read God's word. These are in the bunkers. There's a soldier. I stopped by. I said, do you have 3 minutes? All I need is 3 minutes. I'd like to share that God has a wonderful plan for your life. He loves you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give eternity in your heart and eternity in your life. He said, I want that. I want that. There's a young soldier. Here we are reading the scriptures with him, and he prays. He prays to receive Jesus Christ. He takes the word of God and wants to read it. And then we went across there. We prayed with people. People needed all kinds of help, and the things they needed the most was candles because there was no electricity. There's no other form of energy for them in that part of the world. And as we're having a service today, you know, in the war zone, this is what they're having. On the street. There's no building. And so one of our trained leaders is right there in the open street on a cold, cold, it was at that time, October month, on a cold October month, having a service in the open air, the open street, okay? And here's a lady that received the word of God, and the next day she came back, she found us, and this is what she said: "Had I only read this book when I was young, my life would be different." Why do we do missions? We want people to have a different life. We want them to have an abundant life. We want them to enjoy life. We want them to enjoy the company and the fellowship of believers. We want them to enjoy the fellowship and the forgiveness that God can give them. Here's a lady that said, "Oh, had I only read this book when I was young, my life would be different." You want a different life? Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and His Word, can give us that different life. People of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, I stand before you saying goodbye and want to say thank you. What I'd like to do I'd like the pastor to come forward. I have a little rock from Red Square right here. This is a picture of Red Square. This is an actual little rock that I picked up from Red Square. I'd like to leave this with your church because the hard hearts of the Russian people, and my comment is, pray the Holy Spirit break the granite hearts of the Russian people and bring about revival. This is the original little stone from Red Square where the ziggurat still lies. They have not buried the man. Let us pray for that land so that God will be able to move like He's moving in India and China, like He's moving in Burma and those other countries of the world, because China has abandoned worshiping an idol or a person, but Russia hasn't. So, Pastor, here's a little rock from Red Square. And we pray that you would be able to pray now and then for Russia and help us as we will continue to work in evangelizing that part of the world. And thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be with you today. God bless you. Can I pray for the congregation? Please. Please. Can we pray for the congregation? Okay. Let us in prayer for you. Okay. Father in heaven, as we stand here today, we want to say thank you for the pastor of this church. Oh Lord, you've given him a heart for missions. You've given him a heart for the nations of the world. Now they're celebrating 50 years of the missions conference. And Father, please, please help them. Please help them in every way, across the street and around the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be involved in ministering to the Russian people all these 42 years. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be able to, with your Spirit, break the granite hearts of the Russian people and cause them to come to you. Thank you for this congregation. Please allow your grace and mercy and your tenderness to be over each one of them. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.